This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Today's stories include Chaos at Chain Pharmacies Puts Patients at Risk, and Durham Reports Eviction Filings Increase. And we'll begin with Chaos at Chain Pharmacies Puts Patients at Risk. For Alyssa Watrous, the medication mix-up meant a pounding headache, nausea, and dizziness. In September, Watrous, a 17-year-old from Connecticut, was about to take another asthma pill when she realized CVS had mistakenly given her blood pressure medication intended for someone else. For Mary Schumerin, 85, the error was discovered only when she was dying in a Florida hospital in December 2018. A Publix pharmacy had dispensed a powerful chemotherapy drug instead of the antidepressant her doctor had prescribed. She died about 2 weeks later. The people least surprised by such mistakes are pharmacists working in some of the nation's biggest retail chains. In letters to state regulatory boards and in interviews with the New York Times, many pharmacists at companies like CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens described understaffed and chaotic workplaces where they said it had become difficult to perform their job safely, putting the public at risk of medication errors. They struggle to fill prescriptions, give flu shots, tend the drive-thru, answer phones, work the register, counsel patients, and call doctors and insurance companies. They said all the while racing to meet corporate performance metrics that they characterized as unreasonable and unsafe and an industry squeezed to do more with less. I'm a danger to the public working for CVS, one pharmacist wrote in an anonymous letter to the Texas State Board of Pharmacy in April. State boards and associations in at least two dozen states have heard from distraught pharmacists. Interviews and records show, while some doctors complained that pharmacies bombard them with requests for refills that patients have not asked for and should not receive. Such refills are closely tracked by pharmacy chains and can factor into employee bonuses. The American Psychiatric Association is particularly concerned about CVS, the U.S.'s eighth largest company, which it said routinely ignores doctors' explicit instructions to dispense limited amounts of medication to mental health patients. The pharmacy's practice of providing three-month supplies may inadvertently lead more patients to attempt suicide by overdosing, the association said. Regulating the chains, five rank among the nation's 100 largest companies, has proved difficult for state pharmacy boards, which oversee the industry but sometimes allow company representatives to hold seats. Florida's nine-member board, for instance, includes a lawyer for CVS and a director of pharmacy affairs at Walgreens. Aside from creating potential conflicts of interest, the industry presence can stifle complaints. The industry has been squeezed amid declining drug reimbursement rates and cost pressures from administrators of prescription drug plans. Consolidation, meanwhile, has left only a few major players. About 70% of prescriptions nationwide are dispensed by chain drugstores, supermarkets, or retailers like Walmart, according to a 2019 Drug Channels Institute report. CVS garners one quarter of the country's total prescription revenue and dispenses more than 1 billion prescriptions a year. Walgreens captures almost 20%. Walmart, Kroger, and Rite Aid fall next in line among brick-and-mortar stores. In statements, the pharmacy chain said patient safety was of utmost concern, with staffing carefully set to ensure accurate dispensing. Investment in technology such as e-prescribing has increased safety and efficiency, the company said. They denied that pharmacists were under extreme pressure or faced reprisals. When a pharmacist has a legitimate concern about working conditions, we make every effort to address that concern in good faith, CVS said in a statement. Walgreens cited its confidential employee hotline and said it made clear to all pharmacists that they should never work beyond what they believe is advisable. Errors, the company said, were regrettable but rare. They declined to provide data about mistakes. The specifics and severity of errors are nearly impossible to tally. Aside from lax reporting requirements, many mistakes never become public because companies settle with victims or their families, often requiring a confidentiality agreement. The last comprehensive study of medication errors was over a decade ago. The Institute of Medicine estimated in 2006 that such mistakes harmed at least 1.5 million Americans each year. The day before Wesley Hickman quit his job as a pharmacist at CVS, he worked a 13-hour shift with no breaks for lunch or dinner, he said. As the only pharmacist on duty that day at the store in Leland, North Carolina, Hickman filled 552 prescriptions, about one every minute and 25 seconds. While counseling patients, giving shots, making calls, and staffing the drive-through, he said. Partway through his shift the next day in December 2018, he called his manager. I said, I'm not going to work in a situation that is unsafe. I shut the door and left, said Hickman, who now runs an independent pharmacy. Hickman felt the multitude of required tasks distracted from his most important job, filling prescriptions accurately and counseling patients. He had begged his district manager to schedule a more pharmacist, but the request was denied, he said. CVS said it could not comment on the individual concerns of a former employee. With nearly 10,000 pharmacies across the country, CVS is the largest chain and among the most aggressive in imposing performance metrics, pharmacists said. Both CVS and Walgreens tie bonuses to achieving them, according to company documents. Nearly everything is tracked and scrutinized. Phone calls to patients, the time it takes to fill a prescription, the number of immunizations given, and the number of customers signing up for 90-day supplies of medication, to name a few. The issue is that employees are heavily evaluated on hitting targets, including in areas they cannot control. Internal CVS documents reviewed by the Times show what was expected in some locations last year. Staff members were supposed to persuade 65% of patients picking up prescriptions to sign up for automatic refills, 55% to switch to 90-day supplies from 30-day, and 75% to have the pharmacy contact their doctor with a proactive refill request. If a prescription was expiring or had no refills, the documents show. Pharmacy staff members are also expected to call dozens of patients each day based on a computer-generated list. They are assessed on the number of patients they reach and the number who agree to their request. Representatives from CVS and Walgreens said metrics were meant to provide better patient care, not penalize pharmacists, not penalize pharmacists' care. Some are related to reimbursements to pharmacies by insurance companies and the government. CVS said it had halved its number of metrics over the past 18 months. But dozens of pharmacists described the emphasis on metrics as burdensome and said they faced backlash for failing to meet the goals or suggesting they were unrealistic or unsafe. Much of the blame for understaffing has been directed at pressure from companies that manage drug plans for health insurers and Medicare. The American Psychiatric Association has been trying to tackle a problem after hearing from members that CVS was giving patients larger supplies of medication than doctors had directed. While it is common for pharmacies to dispense 90 days' worth of maintenance medications to treat chronic conditions like high blood pressure or diabetes, doctors said it is inappropriate for other drugs. For example, patients with bipolar disorder are often prescribed lithium, potentially a lethal drug if taken in excess. It is common for psychiatrists to start a patient on a low dose or to limit the number of pills dispensed at once, especially if the person is considered a suicide risk. But increasingly, the Psychiatric Association has heard from members that smaller quantities specified on prescriptions are being ignored, particularly by CVS, according to Dr. Bruce Schwartz, a psychiatrist in New York and the association's president. Dr. Charles Denby, a psychiatrist in Rhode Island, became so concerned by the practice that he started stamping prescriptions at monthly intervals only. Despite those explicit instructions, Denby said he received faxes from CVS and his patients had asked for and been given 90-day supplies. Denby, who retired in December, said it was a bald-faced lie that the patients had asked for the medication, providing statements from patients saying as much. Denby worries that patients may attempt suicide with excess medication. There are going to be people dead only because they have enough medication to do the deed with, he said. And next, Durham reports eviction filings increase. A legal group in Durham is challenging the Durham Housing Authority's claim that recent reforms have led to fewer evictions at its properties. Before it evacuated hundreds of residents over carbon monoxide concerns, DHA was under fire for its rate of eviction filings, much higher than housing authorities in Charlotte and Raleigh. Legal Aid of North Carolina, which offers legal guidance for issues like safety, housing, and income, says DHA is the reason for increased eviction filings in Durham County. Eviction filings are the first step in the process of taking an eviction case to court, where a judge decides whether the resident can stay in the home. In Durham, most eviction cases are resolved before the court hearing. DHA had nearly 850 eviction filings in 2019, around 20 times more than the filings from in Livian, the Charlotte Housing Authority, and more than 30 times more than the Raleigh Housing Authority. In Livian, which has nearly 2,000 more units than DHA, had around 50 total eviction filings in 2019. But DHA evicted fewer people in 2019 than in the previous 2 years, cutting evictions by 30% since 2017. The Housing Authority announced reforms to its eviction process in August. In announcing the reforms, Anthony Scott, DHA's chief executive officer, said, "Recognizing that our residents are the most likely to experience financial stresses that hinder their ability to pay rent, today we are announcing comprehensive changes that we think will significantly reduce the number of evictions from DHA properties." The reforms included more information in eviction notices on how to avoid being evicted, including arranging payments, rental assistance resources, and other lease information. A new general counsel to review eviction notices that residents didn't respond to, working with a local community agency to help families at high risk of eviction, and working with political leaders to fix consequences of landlord-tenant laws. And next, CNET picks four best streaming devices of 2020. So you want a new device to connect to your TV and stream video, but you're not sure which one? We've got you covered. We've reviewed all the major streaming media devices on the market today, along with every major smart TV system, with the exception of TVs that actually run Roku's or Amazon software. TV streaming devices are better than the smarts built into your set. They have more apps, better search, simpler remotes, and more frequent updates. So, if your current media streamer is getting long in the tooth or you're looking for the best streaming device to go with that new 4K HDR TV, chances are you'll be more happy with one of these. And the first one is Roku Streaming Stick Plus. The CNET rating is 5 stars, spectacular. The good? The Roku Streaming Stick Plus delivers 4K and HDR video in a compact package for an affordable price. Its dead simple interface puts every streaming service on a level playing field. Roku's responses are lightning fast, its video quality as good as any streamer, and its remote can control your TV's volume and power. The bad? The menus can seem dated compared to rivals. It lags behind Fire TV for voice support, and it doesn't stream in Dolby Vision. The cost is $43.88 to $54.99. The bottom line, with its simple design and focus on features you'll actually use, Roku's most affordable 4K HDR streamer is one you should get. And the second one is Amazon Fire TV Stick 4K. The CNET rating is 4.5 stars, outstanding. The good? Better streaming format support than anything in its price range. Voice features are best in class, and Echo and Dot owners can control it with Alexa. Its app and game selection is superb. Responses are lightning fast, and video quality is as good as any streamer. The remote can control volume and power on TVs and soundbars. The bad. The user interface pushes Amazon content too aggressively. The selection of 4K, HDR, and Dolby Vision TV shows and movies is worse than on Apple TV 4K or Roku. The cost is $49.99. The bottom line, it flogs Amazon content too much to beat Roku, but for Alexa fans or 4K HDR TV owners who insist on Dolby Vision, the Fire TV 4K stick is a great value. Next, Apple TV 4K. The CNET rating is 4.5 stars, outstanding. The good, the Apple TV 4K delivers the best streaming video available to compatible 4K, HDR, and Dolby Vision TVs. It offers the most polished streaming experience today, the best remote on the market, and excellent Siri voice options. It's just $30 more than the non-4K box. The bad? The Apple TV 4K is expensive. It doesn't stream YouTube in 4K or HDR. Cheaper streaming devices from Roku and others offer similar image quality and capabilities. The cost is $169 to $213.53. The bottom line, if you can swing the price and want the best streamer available today, get the Apple TV 4K. Next, the Roku Express 2019. The CNET rating is 4 stars, which is excellent. The good, the Roku Express 2019 is an affordable, easy-to-use mini-streamer with access to thousands of apps. Load times and app performances are quick and reliable. The bad lacks the TV control buttons and point-anywhere voice remote included on the more expensive Express Plus and Amazon Fire TV stick. The cost is $29. The bottom line, the Roku Express 2019 is an excellent streamer. It's easy to use and offers the cheapest access to Roku's superb operating system. And next, Today host, former first daughter, brings book tour to North Carolina. Today's show co-host Jenna Bush Hager is coming to North Carolina in May as part of her book tour just days after her new book about her grandparents' wisdom is published. Those grandparents, of course, are the late former President George H.W. Bush and former First Lady Barbara Bush. The book called Everything Beautiful in Its Time is described as moving, funny stories about her beloved grandparents and the wisdom they pass on that has shaped her life, according to her book publisher. The book will feature essays about lessons she learned from her late grandparents, which have proven helpful as she raises three children. Today.com reports. The book is set to be released April 28th. Her book tour will take her to North and South Carolina, including stops May 1st in Raleigh and Charlotte, and May 2nd in Southern Pines, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Charleston, South Carolina. The Raleigh stop is at Quail Ridge Books from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A limited number of event tickets are still available. Organizers note that it's a book signing only. Each event ticket includes a copy of the book and a photo with Bush. The bookstore said that Bush will not have time to personalize the books. A similar scenario is scheduled for the Country Bookshop in Southern Pines on May 2nd at 10 a.m. And next, Raleigh's 2020 Krispy Kreme Challenge raises $175,000. What keeps people coming back to the Krispy Kreme Challenge? Raleigh's grueling annual tradition that asks participants not just to run 5 miles in the cold February weather, but to also eat a dozen donuts while doing it. Around 5,500 people attempted it last Saturday morning, lining up at NC State University's Memorial Bell Tower to make the run, now in its 16th year. The runners dashed to the Krispy Kreme store on North Person Street, where they painstakingly mixed water and crushed glazed donuts into their stomachs, before trudging back to the bell tower to finish the race. It's 2,400 calories in total, and it leaves many looking like the walking wounded at the finish line, hobbling down Hillsborough Street and recounting to friends where exactly they vomited along the five-mile trek. Some people, however, truly excel at the race. The winning time this year, accomplished by Stephen Rathbun, was 28 minutes and 29 seconds. Good for a 5 minute and 41 second mile on the average. The combination of the event's absurdity and its charitable cause has truly made it one of Raleigh's signature events. It's unique and everyone has fun, said Jen Mahone, who has been coming to the race for the past 14 years with her son, Quinn. The charity is a bonus, but I think it's the craziness of it that keeps everyone coming back. That craziness includes more than just donuts. For some, it's the costumes that are the main attraction. Despite temperatures hovering around 40 degrees, many runners sported nothing but Speedos. Multiple people dressed up like Forrest Gump, sushi, or a banana, and could be seen carrying a box of donuts. And somehow, two people managed to run in unison while crammed inside of a camel costume. This year's event raised around $175,000 for the UNC Children's Hospital, according to Elise Romola, one of the main organizers of this year's race and a junior at NC State. The event has now raised more than $1.8 million for the hospital across its history, which Romola said makes the Krispy Kreme Challenge the hospital's largest unrestricted donor, meaning the funds can be used for whatever the hospital chooses. 5 miles and 12 donuts is unheard of for a race, and that keeps people coming back, Romola said of the event's staying power. The number of registered participants was up a couple hundred people this year, Romola added. Last year's race had around 5,300 participants and raised about $190,000. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Money Matters is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.